Broadcasting live from the True Crime Today studios to the world. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
From the Hit Killers podcast, Murder in the Morning.
Well, guess who's going to be in Vanity Fair, everyone? Used to be this magazine people would open up and look at, but now it's all digital. Karen Reed, charged twice in the death of Boston police officer John O'Keefe. She's opened up about her ongoing legal battle, strained personal life, and unyielding quest for justice. In an interview with Vanity Fair, speaking to reporter Julie Miller, who was granted unrestricted access, Reed shared insights into her life since O'Keefe's death and the impact of her highly publicized case in what Vanity Fair described as a series of candid in-home interviews. Reed, who is 44, invited Miller to her home, her former Mansfield residence, in August. Reed opened up about her relationship with O'Keefe, her pending retrial, and the toll that it's all taken. Miller reported to Reed that who was been staying with family and friends chose her previous home as the setting for the interviews. She was joined by a volunteer security guard, described by Miller as someone who looks like John Cena and has a license to carry. Facing an uncertain future, Reed was prepared to possibility of another arrest, keeping a Ziploc go bag on hand with essentials, Advil, melatonin, a toothbrush and toothpaste, a hairbrush, lipstick and foundation, as well as her lawyer's phone number. "I'm not backing down," Reed told Vanity Fair, despite the looming prospect of a life sentence if convicted. According to Reed, she won't entertain the idea of a plea deal, even under the risk of severe penalties. "As scary as a potential conviction is, I will go to jail for something I didn't do before I plead out. I will never give them that win." That's how I said it. I don't know how she said it. Reed, a former Fidelity Investments analyst and a Bentley University finance professor, has assembled a team of criminal defense attorneys, but the cost of her legal defense has been steep. She sold her home to offset expenses and is now living with the remnants of her 401k, accruing more than $5 million in legal fees.
There's the number. Remember, I was asking how much she could have possibly spent by now?
Yeah.
There's the number.
"If I can get the entire truth of this case out in the public forum, that to me is priceless," she said.
Where's she coming up with? $5 million in legal fees, and she still has money left. She did some good investing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. Wonder if it's all paid in cash. At the core of her defense are allegations that O'Keefe, her boyfriend of 2 years, was the victim of a violent cover-up involving other Boston police officers. Prosecutors argue that Reed deliberately ran him over in her SUV after an evening out on January 29th and 22, a claim her defense refutes, asserting that O'Keefe has beaten by others. In July, her case resulted in a mistrial, and her legal team has appealed to Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court to dismiss two of the charges ahead of the scheduled retrial in January. Reflecting on a relationship with O'Keefe, Reed described challenges and their dynamic, with disagreements over his role as a disciplinarian for his niece and nephew who lived with him. According to Reed, O'Keefe struggled to mourn his late sister, the children's mother, and remained hesitant about seeking therapy. "I think that's all part of his shock," Reed told Vanity Fair. "The Irish Catholic south of Boston, rub some dirt on it, drink through your problems mindset," quote unquote. In detailing the night of O'Keefe's death, Reed recalled attending a gathering at the Waterfall Bar and Grill in Canton, after which she said O'Keefe joined others at an after party. Feeling uneasy upon arrival, she sent O'Keefe inside only to leave after he didn't return. She admitted to a fleeting thought that he might be screwing around, explaining, "I didn't think he was physically impacted." She left him multiple voicemails before heading home. Prosecutors who highlight Reed's flirty exchanges with O'Keefe's acquaintance, Brian Higgins, argue that these interactions hint at motives for the crime. In response, Reed openly admitted to seeking validation from Higgins. "I knew Higgins found me attractive," she said. "It helped me emotionally validate myself, which is embarrassing to admit." Amid the stress of the case, Reed has remained steadfast about her innocence, addressing rumors that she implicated herself in texts. She explained to Vanity Fair that she and her attorney, David Yannetti, only began communicating after police seized her phone. She said she initially told her parents, "If I did anything in any way, I'll pay my dues." That's how this should work. I want to know the truth. Good, bad, ugly. Yeah. Doesn't seem that you do, though. judging by, you've already said you might have hit him many different ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that all change? Why did that change? I mean, you said that, and it wasn't just necessarily only in the heat of the moment. It was on a phone call with parents. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't think it was on purpose, but yeah.
I wonder if, I don't know. I have no idea. I just don't. I mean, we've come to this conclusion that we don't think she did anything maliciously.
No, but I think the police did something maliciously. I think that they really wanted her to fry, and they couldn't just accept that, you know, evidence will show what it is. So they went above and beyond. I believe they planted some evidence in this case. That's my belief. And then when you start doing shit like that and it starts to look really shady in a department that already is shady as shit.
Yeah.
It starts to look like maybe there's something else going on here. And I don't know that there is, but I think you had that sort of misconduct with somebody who can play on that and who doesn't want to take responsibility. It's really what it comes down to. It's been bastardized every way, shape, and form.
That's a really good term for it, because if John had not been a police officer and there weren't other officers around and this was just an average Joe citizen, would she have gotten the same treatment? I don't think so. I think she knew too many people. She knew. I think there was an embarrassment that officers of the law were shit-faced drunk and something really bad happened in their presence, and they needed to make it look like it was not their fault.
Yeah.
And she's taken the fall for it. Now, did she hit him? I think she did.
Yeah.
And I think they completely profited off of that. Yeah. That, you know what, we can use this to our benefit to make it look like we didn't do anything.
Because they didn't do anything. But I think they really, really wanted to make sure that she got it. I think they wanted to tip the scales even more than was already there. I don't think they did anything to him whatsoever other than planting evidence for a crime that they did not commit, but they really wanted to see her fry.
Do you think it was that they wanted to see her fry, or yes, they wanted to make it look, take the pressure off of them for their behavior, having just been completely out of control drunk?
There wasn't anything that they did that was wrong. They were in their house.
No, but it also doesn't look good if people are in law enforcement and they're having just this shit-faced drunk-ass party as adults. I mean, this is like frat boy behavior.
It is, but I think it's nothing new for the community. I'm sure people are well aware of it. It's not like it's hidden. They're out in public doing this at the local watering holes. I don't think they were really like, oh shit, people are going to find out we're drunks. I think they already knew they were drunks. I don't think that was really a big thing. It just seemed culturally like that's how it kind of fucking works there. So no, I don't think it was that. I just think they, with that drunken attitude, with that, you know, good old boy thing. Look at those texts, like, between them. They hated her. They did not like that she was with him, and they really wanted to stick it to her. And they attempted to. So
I wonder if Higgins was kind of set up to lure her in with those flirty exchanges.
Nah, I just think the two are being flirty, honestly.
I wonder if we're ever going to know the truth about this case.
This is just a bunch of unhealthy people is all I think it is. It's nothing. I don't think it's that deep. This is a bunch of unhealthy people doing dumb things.
Yeah.
I think that's all it is. There's not a big conspiracy here. It's dumb people doing dumb things, and nobody wants to be responsible for their poor behavior.
Mm. And somebody's dead now.
And and at the end of the day, somebody's dead, and it's like nobody can own up to, like, hey, maybe all of our stupid behaviors, you know, led to this happening. Nobody wants to be responsible for John O'Keefe's death. and indirectly, they all are.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.